Hello, and welcome to Sonic Stories, the show where music, human performance, and life intersect and are shared through personal stories. My name is Benny Collins, and on this show, I invite guests to choose three songs that have shaped their life in one way or another, and to share the stories behind these songs and the meaning that they hold for them. Outside of and unrelated to this podcast, I work in the financial technology industry, and just last night, Oscars in Los Angeles. Great, great show as always. Really interesting to see the different winners and just get sneak previews, honestly, of movies that I have not seen yet that I definitely need to see. There's some amazing films that are out there, but the winner of the Best Director Oscar this year was a man by the name of Sean Baker, who directed Anora, which is now high up on my list to see. But I really appreciated his speech. He spoke about how the film industry is more or less under attack and is at risk. So many independent and some larger film movie theaters have closed in the last 4 or 5 years, partly because of COVID, but also just struggling to make ends meet. Another factor playing into that is AI as well. And many art forms are under attack right now. So not just film, just visual art and definitely music. Getting into this podcast today, my guest is a local Chicago musician, which was really great to connect with him. Actually happened to be the drummer of my wedding band, which is just an interesting connection, but I've kept tabs on his movements, his grooves, his music, the people he's playing with, and he's a very cool person in and all of that. Very cool, and I really enjoyed our conversation, but I wanted to bring up the film industry, the music industry, because these are the arts, and the arts are struggling right now. And so for anybody out there that hasn't been to a movie theater in a while, look up some movies, go see a movie at a movie theater. It's nothing like seeing a movie at home. It's a totally different experience, and you can experience with other people, whether you know it or not. Just being in that big space, that dark room, loud music, big visuals, it's a very communal thing, and I love the movie theater. Secondly, if you haven't been to a show out and about where you live, please get out and see a show, whether it's a musical performance you have seen before, or a band you have seen, or somebody you don't even know who you are, don't even know who they are, but just get out and support musicians, buy tickets, buy merch, and support them. Because there's nothing sadder to me than hearing and seeing wonderful artists, filmmakers out there, painters, anyone that can't create art. And in the world that we live in, art is so valuable to make sense of where we live, our emotions, current events, the state of the world, everything. We need it. We absolutely need it. So please support the arts. So quick announcement before we get to this week's guest. Still, I'm in an affiliated partnership with a great company called Mudwater. Mudwater is a coffee alternative that has all of the pros of coffee and virtually none of the cons. It has organic ingredients to improve mental and physical performance, to minimize mood swings, improve physical stamina, immunity, and overall health. It contains masala chai, cacao, a blend of four medicinal mushrooms such as lion's mane, cordyceps, chaga, and reishi, and other simple spices that you probably have in your kitchen right now, like cinnamon, turmeric, and Himalayan sea salts. And I love coffee. I still drink coffee daily. I've been a daily drinker for a very long time, but I definitely got sick of the super high peaks you get with coffee and then crashes in the middle of the day when it's a weekday. So I got stuff to get done, people to visit, and it's just tough. You don't want to be crashing at 3 p.m. when there's still so much day left. And so I added Mudwater to my routine. I looked it up. I purchased it for the first time December of 2021. So little over 3 years now, I've been drinking it every single day, except unless I've been on some sort of vacation and I've been away from home, but just about every day. And I can definitely tell it's been a great addition to my morning and sometimes afternoon ritual. Have some in the morning to get the day started, then have a little coffee to top it off. And then if I need an extra energy boost in the afternoon, then I'll have some more in the afternoon. And that'll give me another 2-3 hours of smooth, calm energy, not giving me a crash. And also what I like, it won't interfere with my sleep later on, because there's nothing worse than having caffeine in the afternoon. You lay down to go to bed and you sit there with a busy head or maybe even heart palpitations because you had too much, which neither are a good situation. So check it out. Mudwater is great. But even outside of all that on experience, the company itself, they donate to MAPS, which is the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, to support psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy for those suffering from depression, PTSD, addiction, and suicidal ideation. And after doing this research on their company, on top of enjoying the product itself, it was really a no-brainer to reach out and team up with them. So if you'd like to give Mudwater a try, There's a link in the show notes of this episode that will take you directly to the website where you can place an order. And now, on to this week's guest. I was joined by Mr. Alfonso Jones. Let's get started. Alfonso, welcome to the show, my man. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for being on. I appreciate it. You know, we were just chatting a little bit ago. This is, you know, I've been doing this for a little while, a little over 20 guests, and I'm excited to dip into a different kind of guest, a different kind of music, someone with a different background like yours. So I'm very excited to have you here.
Oh, man. Thank you again. Thanks
Yeah.
for having me.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Before we get into the songs, I want to give you just a quick 10, 15 seconds just to introduce yourself, who you are, what you're doing with yourself, all that good stuff.
Yeah. My name is Alfonso Jones. I am a musician, full-time musician here in Chicago. I've been playing professionally since I was 11. And since then, it's been just a journey of experiences. I have released 3 records, just recently released one last month called This Thing Called Life. So if you're not doing anything, check it out.
Right.
Yeah, and this conversation today is going to be an insight into like how all of that became. So for sure.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So I was telling you before, I've had a pretty wide variety of guests, people from education, people in healthcare, people that are doctors. I've had an attorney on. I've only had, which is kind of ironic because this is a music and storytelling podcast, I've only had like 4 musicians on, I would say, which is
No.
interesting.
But like how when you described it to me at first, I was like, everybody has a soundtrack to their life. And you know, it's interesting to see those soundtracks come to life in different perspectives. You know, musicians, you know, it's kind of on the nose that they have a musical soundtrack.
Right.
But you never think of like doctors' soundtracks or, you know,
Yeah.
firefighter soundtracks, you know, people like that.
Yeah. Because like on a human level, like since the dawn of man and the dawn of time, every civilization of people has had a really ancestral communication or relationship with music. You know,
Facts.
like the very first music that we ever learned was the heartbeat of our mother's heart inside the womb. You know, that's the dun 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 dun. That's the first rhythm we ever knew. And so
Facts.
we were literally born with music. And I think, you know, variety of people, backgrounds, everybody has that connection.
And music is such a big part of our lives, like you said, in the womb, because like all of that music that our parents listen to is transferred through that.
Yes.
You know, so like if you listen, like if you know, like I don't know, you can kind of track what you like and then ask your parents, like, what were you listening to when I was in the womb? You know, and now all that's like, wow, okay. It kind of works or comes together, you know?
Yeah, it all fits it. And that's a funny way to like a funny question to ask. Have you ever asked your parents what they were listening to?
No, but my mom blames me for stealing all her rhythm. So my heightened sense of rhythm, I guess I sucked out of her
Right.
as I came out, you know.
Yeah, leashed it out. That's funny. That's
She's
funny.
like, she always says, I used to be able to dance before I had you, and now I can't do anything.
You stole the groove.
I stole the groove.
That's funny. All right, cool. Well, let's dive into these songs. Is there anything you want to say at the top before we talk about these 3 songs, the stories behind the songs, anything you want to have as like a preamble?
No, I would rather talk after the songs. Let the songs kind of set the mood, and then we can talk about the stories after.
Perfect. Okay, cool. Well, let's jump in with the order that you sent me and then the order that I listened to for a little bit of prep. We're talking about Protocol, Live in Japan, 1987, John Scofield.
Yeah.
So how the hell did John Scofield land on your radar?
So Dennis Chambers is one of my favorite drummers. He's like the reason why I sound the way I sound. And this album was actually one of the first albums I purchased with my own money. And what happened was our jazz band got chose to be like, we were voted one of the top 15 bands in the country when I was a junior in high school. So we got to travel to New York and study with the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra and perform for the Essentially Elitent contest. And with that, you know, you get to study with all those musicians that are in the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra. So I studied with Hurley Riley, Wynton Marsalis, and all those band members there. So and that's when, like, so we got to spend a week in New York basically. And a few days in New York. And we went to the record store. And this was one of the records that I purchased with my own money and like have still listened to this day.
That's amazing. I mean, yeah, I feel like when it comes to these three songs, they're typically songs that people still go back and listen to. So this is definitely like a part of your week-to-week rotation, your month-to-month rotation.
This is one of my grounding songs. Like when I know, like I need inspiration, and I'm getting ready to go into a situation that requires me to be like one of those like bombastic, like choppy drummers. And I'm not necessarily talking about like today's chops, but like, got to be quick and musical. So this is one of my inspiration songs that I listen to. It just like gets me in the right mindset to be that performer of drummer.
I mean, we're talking about like, from your mom leaching out groove and leaching out dance. It's almost like it sounds like when you're listening to this song, you're leaching out these characteristics of Dennis Chambers, and
Exactly.
he is flowing into your play and your feel and the way you sit behind the kit.
And then, like, when I got this record, like, when you're a kid and you have nothing to do in the summertime, I would sit in the basement with my drum set and just ingest all of this and just, basically learn it verbatim, and it becomes a part of my language. It's like how we learn how to talk. You just kind of ingest it and then spew it out.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
with that, I'm ingesting like Dennis Chambers and other drummers, and it kind of builds my vocabulary.
Yeah, that's how musicians becoming musicians, just taking in all these different things.
Yep.
So from this song specifically, thinking about Dennis Chambers, thinking about when you listen to the song, using it as fuel for inspiration, getting in the right mindset to perform. When you think about Dennis, what are the three characteristics that you can pull out from Dennis when you're chewing on this song? And then when you go to play, you can like feel Dennis coming out in your playing.
Yes. Well, one is the relaxed feel in the midst of a up-tempo, like slightly chaotic song. Like if you listen to it, so it's a lot going on in that song.
Busy.
It's very busy, but it's still relaxed, and it still has like a pulse that's just like chugging along. So that's one of the characteristics that like I kind of picked up from Dennis, was like just remaining relaxed in the midst of moving fast and fast moving things. Two is just the musicality and the placement of things that he did do, and how he basically helped elevate the energy of that song. So the song starts here and it ends up here. And then it's just like, yeah. So that's two. And then the third one is just his playing is just super inspirational. Like everything he does, and it's so clean and so like defined. And that's one of the things that I try to strive for every time I play the drums.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think we both know there's a number of musicians out there that, and that's not to say they're bad musicians, but there are a number of musicians that, regardless of the instrument, whether it's drums or woodwinds or a horn or something like that, or bass, the stuff they're playing can kind of, I think of like a boiling pot of stew, and it
Yeah.
sometimes just boils over and it's just like stuff. But then with Dennis, like you're saying, it's just really crisp. It's not overwhelming. It's not like, it's not like super charted out, like super strict drumming, but it's just really grounded and really rooted.
Yeah, and he says himself he can't read music. So a lot of the things that he's doing is just off of feel and just what serves the music, So that's always the goal, is to serve the music.
So yeah, so rooted, so grounded. That's so interesting. With this, you got this when you said you were 11, right?
No, so I got this record when I was, I would say 14, 15.
14, 15. Okay, that's still
Yeah.
pretty young. Still pretty
Yeah.
young. Is this something you've ever shared with anybody else, or is this just like Alfonso's soundtrack behind closed doors?
Well, my band director was my biggest inspiration because he's a drummer also. So
Okay.
he kind of started showing me things of Dennis and like, all the people that I was like slowly influenced by, and he was just like, okay, cool, you got that. Here's this. And he was not aware of this song, like this record. So when I bought it in New York, it was CDs at the time, so I kind of lent him my CD player, and then he listened to it. And he was just like, I love this. And then he heard me start to incorporate a lot of this into like our jazz band songs, and he was just like, he loved it. So he just kind of he helped refine and kind of show me how to incorporate this into my own voice. So like that's kind of yeah. So that's the big thing.
So have you ever like sat somebody down and been like, hey,
man, hey lady, hey gal, anybody, we sat
Yeah.
them down and be like, you got to hear this, because when I hear this, I see rainbows. Have you ever had that?
Most times, well, so if I'm talking to musicians, a lot of like guitar players that I hear sound like Scofield, I'll be like, hey, have you heard this record? And a lot of them like, no, I've heard the, because there's a studio version of this record too,
Okay.
but
Okay.
it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same. So like they listen to it and just like they said, the inspiration that comes over is just like now they're ready to play. But when I used to teach, I would play some of this for them, just kind of like just to give them inspiration of like where we trying, like how I got to where I'm at, and just kind of inspire them to try to like push forward to that. So yeah, I try to share this record as much as I can.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's like in these conversations, what I love is that when people share their songs, they talk about in one way or another how the song is a tool for something. Whether it's, to sit down and to ground themselves, if it's a sad song or a hopeful song, or for you, it sounds like it's an educational tool to turn on other musicians to realize a place they could get to as drummers.
And also just to show that you can be busy but not in the way. You
Yeah.
know, it's like there's a beauty in space and a beauty in silence. And the use of space in this, like if you listen to the entire record, like there's the songs range from like that song that I sent you, which is kind of I think the busiest song on the record,
Okay.
to ballads that are just lots of space, but like the use of space is just so nice
Yeah.
and refreshing. Because
Yeah.
like especially nowadays, a lot of people don't understand the use of space and they want to fill all the space with something. So it's like, silence is music too.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It adds so much character to it. Like, if you think about, like, we hear from musicians that talk about, composing or writing a song and then comparing it to an artist behind an easel and using a paintbrush. It's like that silence is totally a part of the color scheme that they choose to use.
Yep. The use of negative space, that type of stuff. And it's I like it. I liken it to a conversation. So like when you're talking, you have to breathe. You can't just go da 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 da
Right.
da 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 da. Eventually you got to breathe. And then event like as we talk, the words go up and it goes down and it speeds up and it slows down. So it's like that's music. Like that's how music should flow. Like rivers flow at different, speeds, so music should do the same. Life flows like
That's what I was gonna say. Like
that.
the use of space in real life, like even in the conversation.
Yep.
Oftentimes conversations work best when I go and then I stop and then you go, or
Right.
you go and then stop and then I go.
And it sounds like a cacophony of sound and chaos when everyone's trying to talk over each other and say what they got to say, especially when it doesn't relate to one
Oh God. You want to
another.
talk about like defining pet peeves of mine? That's the one thing that I have a hard time with.
Man, no, seriously. Like, I think I as the older I get, it's just like, yo, I value silence and space. So it's just like, when that is exercised best, I am in
Yeah,
it.
it's just
I'm in it.
peaceful.
Yes, peace.
I think about that word a lot. Like my wife and I we're looking around for a house, trying to buy a house, and I'm like, well, do we stay in the city and stay in the action where there's the noise, the busy? It's like, or do we go up to like Rogers Park and just be at peace in the quiet?
Yeah. No, that I think about that daily is like, where do I want to live when I buy my house? And like I always joke, I'm like, put me in the middle of the woods. Like I just want a plot of land in the middle of the woods that you have to go down winding roads to get to, and that would be my peace. And then I can make all the noise I want with the drums, but also sit in the yard and just listen to nature.
Yes, I hear you. I mean, for me, I grew up in rural Wisconsin. That's the type of environment I grew up in. Like my mom's house was in the woods down like a gravel road. And so it was just like hills and woods and trees and birds and random deer and rabbits and everything. And
Yeah.
it's a beautiful landscape and it's quiet.
That is my ideal version of peace or an island.
Yeah.
But I'm an introvert by nature too. So like I think that's what plays into it. And then like you said, growing up in atmospheres that are contradictory to that. So like I've always been in dense areas full of people, around people, and everybody has energies and Some of it's good, some of it's bad.
Yep.
So I'd rather choose the energy I'm around.
Exactly. And knowing the limitations of the energy you have to give, you're like your social battery. It's like, how long can that stretch? And I think to go even deeper, how long can that stretch around certain kinds of people?
Facts. And I don't know if you looked at my Instagram profile. I was like, I extrovert because I have to.
I haven't seen it.
So like if money wasn't a thing, I would not because I love just being in peace. And being a musician, you have to go out, you have to network, you have to do all the things. It's a business, you know,
Yes.
so you have to grow that business, and extroverting is part of growing that business. So
Yeah.
you know, if money wasn't a thing, man, I would be like, you know, a Kendrick Lamar where you barely see me outside. But
Right.
when I come outside, it's gonna be very
Yeah.
impactful.
And I mean, going back to space, it's like you make your presence felt in explosive and valuable moments
Yeah, because
instead of just all the time.
exactly, and I think that's the key to kind of being memorable. You want to be remembered for good things and not being the annoyance of constants.
Right.
You
Yeah.
know, like there's good constants and there's bad constants, and some of the bad constants happen when it's just a like unrelenting, you know, thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to be an unrelenting thing.
Right. No, yeah, I hear you. I'm thinking about like sometimes like different kinds of food where it's just like I don't want to be like a B minus or a C plus ham sandwich every single day. I want to
Yeah.
be like a banging ass ham sandwich once a week.
Exactly. Like, yeah, think of your favorite food from your favorite restaurant. One, you can't eat that all the time.
Right, you cannot. You cannot.
You cannot. So it's just like, but when you have it, you savor every one of those bites. You know, you savor the smells and you just in like it imprints on you like every time you eat it. And that's why it's your favorite food at your favorite restaurant.
Yeah. Look at us. Look at us just going off to the side.
So that's my goal is to be someone's favorite food at their favorite restaurant. So when they see my drum set up there, like, oh man, I'm in for a good meal.
Yeah, like reminds me of Jameson Ross. You know him?
Yes, I
Yeah,
do.
like his like on his Instagram post, and I think on some of the tours that he goes on, he talks about feeding people's souls with the music. Like, come
Yes.
get fed, come get fed.
Yeah, and that should be every musician's goal. You know, and unfortunately the music industry is kind of under attack where that's kind of not being possible easily. You have to search it out now. So it's like, you know, you have to kind of get through all the AI BS, and you know, with music being able to be produced in the home, there's a lot of noise out there. So
Yeah.
it's like if you want something that's going to feed you, now you have to search through all the groceries and all the junk food and all the fake food, you know, to get to the real food.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much out there. I go to Spotify, I listen to like the Discover Weekly podcast playlist, which is auto-generated of stuff that I typically will like, but even still, it's just there's so much to keep up with.
Yeah, and I think things like that have hindered a lot of people from finding really good things because it's given to you. So now you don't have to search it out, and it's just like in the ease of it coming to you, you find yourself missing out on good things. So
Yeah.
for me as a person has put out three records, trying to get those records through all the noise that's on these social media on these platforms, and it's just like, you know, it becomes a little daunting and you know a little discouraging, and I find myself kind of being my own encouragement every day. That's the biggest thing I do every day, try to encourage myself to keep going. Because like you'll start something and I'll feel like overwhelmed, and I'll just like go lay on the couch and be like, I'm tired.
Yeah, it takes energy.
It takes so much energy just to keep going in this industry. So at least try to be an individual in the industry and not a follower or a sheep, you know?
Right. Setting a trend and like and having a good impact.
Yeah. Exactly. And just trying to get your sound out there because everybody has a sound.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's just like, you know, some sounds are kind of just reproductions of, or some is original sounds. And I try to have an original sound and put that original sound out there.
Yeah. And so speaking of sound, going back to Dennis Chambers, Are there any other recordings of Dennis Chambers out there, studio or live, that you also go to as like a backup to this song?
Yes. Well, a lot of his own, like his records are really good. But he's actually one of the most recorded drummers that like a lot of people never heard of. You know,
Really?
they've listened to it and be like, oh, that's Dennis. I'm like, yes, that's Dennis. Like you've heard him play before, you just don't know the name. So, but like honestly, I like to watch a lot of the videos just because I can see what I'm also like putting and hearing together. So, I watch a lot of the stuff when he was with Santana, when he did like that run with Santana, or even his old Parliament Funkadelic days. So, you know, so that type of stuff. So, like just getting that groove, because he has his sense of groove is just undeniable. Like he starts to play and you can't help but move.
Yeah, that's the
Yeah.
best. That's the best.
That's a goal, you know. Who doesn't want to be that effective to where like, and this is what I tell people all the time, is like I find the person in the room that I feel like don't want to dance and make them dance.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's always my goal. When I see them like nodding, I'm like, okay, they're hooked. They're hooked. And so I try to make the groove deeper, and like next thing you know, like it's like they can't help it and just like up and dancing now. So it's like, yes, I can.
Yeah. It's like you're the kryptonite in a way.
Man, like you're so determined to not have a good time tonight. I'm not gonna allow it. You're gonna dance. You're gonna get sweaty, and you're gonna, need a shower after
Right.
this.
Walk it off. Yeah. Have so go on, I want to touch on just really quick before we get to the next song is how you and I even know each other. And so for the listeners out there, kind of a whack story in a way, but not too wild, but Alfonso was in the band as the drummer for my wedding last summer, which is really cool. And so basically unknown, I've never seen you, never heard your name before. I talked to Mike and he and I had a great connection. I'm like, I want these guys. I want these guys. Fortunately, we were in a situation where we could stretch out and get the whole crew. I think we had like 15, 16 of you guys
It was a
drive
big
up,
band.
yeah, drive up to Madison. Like, place was jumping. It was crazy. But since then, obviously, like I went to your City Winery show a month or two ago, which was awesome. Like the people that you bring on with that, like Jackson Shepherd, I now keep up with him and his stuff. Like,
Man,
talk about a tasty guitar player.
brother, for real. Like, that's why he's where he is. Like, he is such a great musician. And we've sat down and talked about a lot of our music influence. Like, he's one of those guys that just gets it. And for him to, he's always been like that since I met him. And I met him when he was like 19. And he's been a part of my band since, a lot of those years. And he just gets it. He's just like his groove is like undeniable, and he's the most creative person that I know. Like just so many ideas constantly coming out of him.
That's so cool.
So even on the new record, we did two songs together that we sat in this room and did from scratch. So we knocked out like six songs in like 4 hours. Yeah, and that type of workflow where you just complete six songs in 4 hours is unheard of.
What kind of like, so take us into that room for a second. What kind of headspace in, going back to the word, what kind of groove were you guys in so able to be that in sync to move through the songs like that?
So it goes back to choosing the energy that you have around you. So in working with Jackson for many years, like I noticed that whenever we're on the same stage together, it's just unlimited creativity. So I knew if I was able to just get us in the room together and just, hit record, like a lot of good stuff would happen. And like literally the two songs that we did were like the first two songs that we just knocked out. And we finished them that day. Like, and it was just like, yeah, this is ready to go. Mix it and mastered and put it on the So
Dang.
yeah, so like when I sent it out to get mixed and mastered, it was like, there's nothing to do here. Like we'll just get it to level and then it's ready to go. So literally those are the two easiest songs that like went the fastest on the record. But the energy in the room, like we would just sit and play, and we both were just amazed at how fast things just came together and how intricately simple things were. Like it's simple but also just deep. And that's why people love those songs, is because like it grasps them and takes them to a place. And hopefully it takes them to the place that we were in when we created it.
Yeah. Well, that, and I think that goes to the level of musicianship that you and him have is that you can translate, because it's almost like you're writing down like a language, and then to the audience, you're teaching them how to read it. And so if you're a great musician, you know how to translate that language so that all, the rest of us can just read it and just get it. So that's just good songwriting.
And then also it's teaching people how to respond to the music. Like
Yeah.
people don't also ne necessarily have a intuition of how to respond to music, and they kind of just they feel a way, but they don't know how to express it. So like I feel like I write music that gives people permission to feel and just do what you feel
Yeah.
without like, you know, because everybody's so concerned about what people think. That's one of the things that I've prided myself on is I really don't care what people think. I just kind of do what makes me feel good, and what I've found is doing that makes other people feel good.
Yeah.
And when you make that connection and you realize, you know, up to this point, because you can't give everybody everything. There's things reserved for certain people. But you give them what you can give them, and people accept that and ingest it and then like return it with positive energy. So it's just like it's a cycle of positivity.
Right. Yeah. It's going back to influence and education too. Like you said, like teaching people how to respond to the music, how to ingest it, how to interpret it. Maybe not interpret, because they can interpret it the way they want, the way that they feel.
And that's what we leave. We leave that interpretation for them, but we
Yeah.
just want them to let them know it's okay to feel things and to let those feelings be known.
Right. Yeah.
Especially in a society where like you can't really do what you feel because everybody has an opinion about what you feel. And it's like,
Exactly.
why does my feeling something that affects you, you know,
Yeah,
and it
exactly. Yeah. And like, I mean, going into this is a whole separate podcast, not even just a
shouldn't.
conversation, but a whole separate podcast. But like talking about that exact experience about how black men are supposed to feel, going down that path. Like I'm like you and I obviously been around each other physically. I'm 6'5". Used to play competitive sports. Like I look like I could be a bouncer somewhere downtown, but like you can bet your buns that I have a good cry now and then, and I get upset just like anybody, you know?
And it's
Just
okay too.
yeah.
And that's one thing I had to learn. Like I had to go through some traumatic things in my life to be able to cry again and then being okay with crying again.
Yeah.
And like and in that has changed the way my music has come. You know, like now I'm able to pull from places that, you know, and coming from those places of a place from victory, you know, versus like, you know, still dealing with a lot of stuff or even like the depression of those things. So it's just like, you know, that has changed the way I produce music and stuff like that too, because like now it's a little bit more mature.
Yeah.
Because like now, because it's multi levels to all of it versus like coming off the surface of I think this will get people dancing. I think
Yeah.
you know, so it's like no, this is from this song comes from me feeling this way, and I hope you know you can kind of feel the victory that I had from this experience.
Definitely. Do you think, and be yeah, we could keep going here. One last question, and then we will get to the next song. But do you think, so that specific thing about going through different experiences, leaving an impression on you? When I listen to your music, I can sense there's a blend of influences and a blend of genres. So do you feel like, you know, to that point about feeling and experiencing different things, that it leaves your music to be a little kind of like a blend of genres, or even just genreless, because you have different things coming in?
That is the hardest question I get when people ask me about my music is how what genre would you put your music in? I'm like, you can't. Because like if you listen to the record, it's a little bit of rock, it's a little bit of R&B, it's a little bit of hip hop, it's everything. And you know, I call myself a musical mutt because I am a mixture of
Yeah.
all of that, you know.
It's yeah, like my favorite, some of my favorite music, and my yeah, like my favorite band is a band that is like that too, where you could say five different genres to them because they are all of that and more. Like they can't be locked down to one.
And I feel like that opens that music up to the world because there's something for everybody on that one record
Yeah.
versus like now only this record is only for like rap lovers or this record is for, you know, singing lovers or R&B lovers. It's like, no, You can hand this record off to like 50 people and somebody's gonna find one thing that they love about that record. And I'm okay with that. I don't mind having a skippable song for some people. Cause that one song that one person skips is a song that somebody's gonna latch onto and it imprint like it has an imprint on their life.
Absolutely. It could be one of their top three songs.
Exactly. And getting over that thought process is what allowed me to be able to put out music. Cause like that's such a hindrance is because like you're like, people are not gonna get it. They're not gonna understand, you know, like they want this one thing and it's like but what about you? What do you want? Like, I need to get this music out. And it's not a song until it's out, until it's released, other than until it, before that, it's a concept. So, you know, that type of thing. So I'm just happy to have it out. And what happens with it, all I gotta do is kind of try to be what everybody wants me like to do them. I have to be the marketer. I have to be the videographer. I have to, you know, you have to be the creator. You gotta go from music creator to content creator after that. So like I'm trying to do my part as a content creator without feeling exhausted because I don't know what I'm doing. I just want to play music. And then, you know, you want to hand it off to people who know what they're doing so the world can get that music that you worked so hard on. But it's not always that case.
I wish it was, but it's not.
It's not.
Well, let's keep cruising on. So I think a good transition point, we're talking about genre and being genreless. This next song comes from a duo that I find to be a genreless duo because these are folks that bring in jazz, they bring in stanking, ATL funk, they bring in hip hop. The song is Bombs Over Baghdad by Outkast. So I'm obviously totally different genre from John Scofield and Dennis Chambers, different decade, just different a lot of things. But break this down. How did this get into your trio of songs?
Growing up, I grew up in a very Christian household, so I was only able to listen to gospel music. And then, as I got into high school, marching band was a thing, and we were a mix between like chorus style marching, but like Southern style like music choices. So we would play like radio hits and get the people going. So like, I think our format marching was like three like chorus style songs at front, and then we'll go into like a party band set at the end. And it's just like it's just like medleys of like songs of that was popular at of that time or that summer before we came back to school. So my first year of marching band, we played like an Outkast song, and in that I remember like trying to understand like where the song came from, like because I didn't listen to it, and my friend lent me the Stankonia album. I think that's the name of the record that there's on, and this song just spoke to me. Like it was fast, it was just like the words was moving fast. I'm just like, what did they say? Oh my God. But then the drums was just like in your face, you know, just that boom, 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 boom. Like, ah. And then I saw the video and I was just like, this is the most creative thing I've ever seen. And it's literally just people running around. But it's so killing. And like it kind of I heard I think Tyler, the creator, coined this phrase, high concept, low budget. And that's what that video kind of gave me, was just like it's just a crowd of people running, but the concept is like high. Like you have to it speaks on you on so many levels. So the song and that, you know, and then just it was a gateway song into my love of Outkast. So Outkast is like one of my biggest influences to this day. To the point where like at your wedding I did all the
I know. I loved it. I loved it. I remember
Outkast
Roses very well.
songs. And I do that song everywhere and like people love it. So I'm like, yeah, I love Outkast. So it allows me to tap into them every single time I get to perform.
That's awesome. And like, what an introduction to first the marching band and your friend introduce the CD. Is that so? Like, going back to, I love to talk about the human connection with listening to music. Obviously, with musicians, you're playing, but do you ever, when you think about this song, do you think about the kid that introduced it to you? Or do you go back in time to when you were that younger man taking it in for the first time? Are you back at your mom's house? Are you driving to church? Like, where do you go with this song?
It takes me back to when I was younger, when life was more simple, and bills weren't a thing. When money was not an option, like I didn't care about money. I was just wanted to like just play music and have fun with my friends. And it takes me back to those days that like it was just super easy when life was easy. And so like when I hear this song, it definitely helps me to go into like the days where like I would spend my summer like I would play for 8 hours a day and then go play outside, or play outside and then like go play drums. It was like when I had no other option but to just be and have fun, when life was when fun was like a constant option and you didn't have to like schedule fun. Like I feel like we have to schedule fun now.
Like putting in time in your schedule for yourself.
Yeah, and it's so easy to lose that. And I find myself listening to the song when I feel like I'm losing like myself in life.
Interesting.
So, it's just like it these a lot of the three songs that I sent you are like my grounding songs, honestly. Where it's just like it not only is it inspirational musically, but also just takes you back to a place where it's just like it reminds you of where you came from and how you got there, and makes me grateful to all the things that I did go through to get and to get to the point where I'm at now.
Do you ever, that's such a good point. I'm trying to figure out how to articulate the question. Like, when you say it takes you back, and I have songs like this too that take me back too. But when you listen to this, do you also like, do you think about yourself at that time and reflect on like what kind of person you were then and how you lived your life? And then all, and then also kind of, for better or worse, compare it to how you think about yourself now.
Definitely. Back when I was younger, I was like insanely shy. Like I was, woo, like you could, I would be so scared to just go and talk to new people. And like I remember the friends I would hang out with when I came with this song. Like when I lived where I lived, it wasn't me that would introduce. Like it was me. My sister would drag me around with, and introduce me to people. And she's younger than me. She's 22 months younger than me. So it's just like, she's like, "Hey, come over here." And it's just like, "This is my brother." And then like the people that like will just like start clicking. And so it's like, okay, there's something there that allows me to click with people, but it's just like I got to get past that initial shyness, which I didn't get past until I got to college, but that's a whole nother story. But yeah, it just takes like I said, it takes it back to where I was very grateful to where I've come from, and that's just in like the growth of me being as a human, being that shy kid, and now I'm able to like stand in front of people and perform music. Like when you came to my show, that was the first time I ever like really performed my own music from not behind my drums, so like that was a moment of vulnerability there. Because like my drums have always been my security blanket. So I'm still to this day making strides to come out of my shell.
I mean, but that's life. Like, life
Yeah.
is just the continuous process of breaking former bad behaviors, or even or existing bad behaviors, or moving and growing past traumas, or whatever it is. So I tip my cap to you.
And I tip my cap to everybody who's still doing it. Because like everybody gets to a point and then they stop. And it's like I'm in my comfort zone, but that comfort zone is where you start. Like I had my teachers used to say this thing in college. They'd be like, if you're not growing, you're dying. Like if you feel like you arrive, you might as well dig a ditch. So it's just like, I'd rather keep growing and keep pushing that bar so that I can become the best me that I can be. And not just for me, but for whoever I encounter in my life,
Because the going back to, writing good music and then having the opportunity to put good music out there, you also want to be able to self-realize yourself and become a better version of yourself to then offer that to the world too. And not because it's like, I always go back and forth like, oh, I have to be stay in this like doing mode to make sure that I'm producing something and I'm putting something out there like a product. I'm the product, things like that. But you want to be able to like have the self-respect to kind of slow down and make sure you're taking care of yourself and are excited to present yourself to the world and to the people around you that you love and appreciate, so they're getting what they deserve, which is the best version of you.
Right. But even in that, I realized the best version of myself is still flawed. And
Yes,
that
as if
is
everybody.
that's with everybody, but a lot of people try to hide those flaws and it presents something that's not genuine. And I try to make sure whenever someone encounters anything of mine or me, it's genuine.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people are longing for genuine, contact. And everybody has already they had enough of the mask that people put out and the personas that people put on. So it's like, I don't have the energy to do
It's
that.
exhausting.
It's super exhausting. And it's already exhausting with me just getting out of the house and trying to talk with people daily. So it's just like, okay, I don't have the energy to even put on a persona. Like, this is
Yeah.
me.
Right.
So
Just walked out the door. I just happened to put on deodorant. I brushed my teeth. Here you go.
I put on real pants today. I am not wearing joggers
Yeah.
today.
I'm wearing a belt.
I am wearing a belt and I don't like it. So let's finish this up so I can get home so I can take this belt off.
Right. Yeah, that's good. But so you mentioned you have a sister. What about any other siblings? What's your family like?
It's just me and my sister. And it's been my mom and my sister for the majority of my life. My grandmother, she was a huge influence on me too until she passed away. She passed away like during the pandemic, but it wasn't pandemic related. She was such a huge influence on me. So like mothers are a huge support, but grandmothers, when they really see that you're in love with something, they will support you like with everything. It's to the point where like we'll have conversations and she'll just be like I'll just see like her like coming and just putting money in my pocket and she's like here and I'm just like what is this for? She's like you'll find a reason for it and I'm like yes because I did need this but I wasn't gonna ask her. Or she'll call me over and she'll like we'll be talking and she'll be like you want some food or like she'll feed me and I'm like cool I didn't have any money for food. Thanks grandma. They just know. Grandmothers just know. And like I'm so grateful for her. And then like I'm not fully like really connected with the majority of my bigger family, but like those people, like my mom, my sister, and my grandmother have been just like solid people in my life, and just like that's like how this song, how the music grounds me, being around them grounds me too.
Yeah. And it's good to have those different sources.
Yeah. And not a, and it, I like I said, I'm grateful for having them because not a lot of people have them.
Yeah.
So like now that my grandmother's not around, I hate that there's more appreciation for her not when she's not around than it was when she was around.
Yeah.
But even in her memory of what she gave to me, I'm still trying to do my best because like I know, like whenever I put out a record, I can see her just being proud of me.
Yeah.
Because I got to experience that with my first record. So when she saw me put out my first record, she was so proud, and like she bragged about it to everybody.
Yeah.
She was my biggest marketing ploy.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no idea what your grandma was like, but I'm just envisioning her like handing out like a CD or like a link to her friends down the street, or like she's playing bridge and she's like, "Oh, you hear about my grandson Alfonso? See what he's doing?"
That's how it was. Like, because we she was an usher at my church that I played at and did production at, and she would just always be like, "Hey, did you know he's doing this? Did you know he's doing this?" And I'm like, "Grandma, come on, like, too much, too much."
Yeah, that's
But
sweet though.
yeah, I loved her for it. Like, it was just amazing. She was an amazing person.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that she had passed.
Life's
It does.
and we can't do anything about it. We just have to we make well, like I said on my record, life is a bunch of choices, and what we choose what to do with those things is what creates our life. So
Yeah.
yeah.
That's so true. And every day is a new day. It's a
Yeah.
new opportunity of a whole basket of choices to make.
Exactly. So when someone has fed you like that and they've passed on, your best thing to do is to keep living life that will make them proud.
Exactly.
So like not only just for yourself, but for the people that have come before you.
Yeah. Have you ever written any music for family members?
Yes and no, because I feel like all of the music kind of comes from just all of my experiences with my family.
Right.
But the only thing I found myself like really writing for are like loves of my life,
Yeah.
you know, because that affects you in good ways and bad ways. So like you
Yeah.
kind of take all those emotions and you need to get them out. So sometimes those things come out in song.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, because that's sometimes the easiest and maybe the most comfortable way to express it. Because sometimes it's hard to have a conversation about it. So, like, let me, like, music is my medium. This is how I'm
Yeah.
going to use it.
And like and it goes back to what you said before, like as a black man, you know, the best way to express ourselves are in mediums that people are comfortable with us expressing ourselves in. So like you know, there's history of black men expressing their love for people and their hate for people, and that's through the medium of music. So you know, I can't just like I need to have a conversation about my feelings. It doesn't work that way. But I could put a song about like how much I'm in love with this person or how much I hate this person, and people be like, that's totally okay.
Yeah, like that's digestible. It's
Exactly.
acceptable, which
Exactly.
is a whole other thing. It's like, well, can we just be acceptable in every way that we are?
We can ask that question, but the reality of it is no.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, maybe some
And
generation.
yeah, and I think that's what's happening is as our generations grow, like it's becoming more acceptable,
Yeah.
but and but the louder the voices of negating that are becoming stronger also, so you
Yeah,
know.
there is. There's like a strong oppositional force that just
Yeah.
like just wants to keep up the parameters, keep up those boundaries.
And it's like they're seeing how strong we are when we lose those boundaries and those parameters, and like most people can't handle the strength of a fully healed person.
Right. Yeah. That's so
So
true and so well put.
that's our goal, is to just be the, like we said, be the best version of ourselves, and that's a fully healed person. But you know, we have our challenges daily.
Yeah. Yeah, the challenges daily and like we were saying before, just the flaws that you pick up along the way in the journey, and that also just makes you who you are. It adds the character. It's like, you know, when you see an old car down the street with like a small little, or actually a better example, you see a bass guitar with like a special, with like a belt buckle rash on the back of it
Yep.
that scrapes off the paint because you know that's a road worn bass that someone, you know, had up against their body and just scratched it from gig upon gig upon gig. And it's what makes that bass that bass.
And it sounds the way it sounds because of that, those imperfections. Totally get it. Totally
Yeah,
get
that's it.
it.
Cool. Well, speaking of, let's get to this third song. Imperfections, perfections. I don't know how you want to describe getting into this, but we're going to talk about Jumpstart. This is an interesting album that I
Yeah.
went through. I only listened to a couple of the tunes, but obviously the tune. But Jumpstart, The Master of Melancholy, Root Groove by Wynton Marsalis, the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra.
Yeah. So this is my happy song. This is the
It's
song I
fun.
listen. It's such a fun song. This is the song like when I am feeling very sad, I can put this song on and it just like automatically lifts me up.
Yeah.
And what led me to this song was one back in high school, the Essentially Elton thing, but also this is the second record that I purchased with my own money.
Wow.
But I also like I picked up trombone in high school because there was a gang of drummers and they needed trombone, so I was like, I'll pick it up. And in that, I found inspiration from a trombonist named Wyclef Gordon, and that's him playing the solo part with the plunger on that song. So, and he's and in his in researching him, he's definitely like perfected imitating the voice with his horn, and like that is such a it's I don't know it's such an ancestral feeling when I listen to that song, because it's just like it's happiness, it's joy, it's like a party, but like that's what it, I don't know, it just makes me happy. It's a happy party.
It is like that's kind of what I picked up too, is that it's very fun. It's like it's very big in the sense, and this is what I presume to be like what they would call a jazz big band. Like there's a lot
Yeah.
of people in that room, a lot of mics probably if it was recorded later on when they could afford and have a lot of mics and everything. But there's a lot going on, and it's very conversational too, which I love, between that lead instrument and then a whole other section that does twinkling and other stuff on
There's
top.
so many like conversations. That's exactly. That's a great way of putting it. It's just a song of conversation. but it's like a conversations that happen in a party
Yeah.
or even like a church service where you have the preacher and everybody's just saying amen and like all these parts. It's just like, yeah, no, like it's a happy moment. It's
Yeah.
Sunday morning, you know, at church, or it's Sunday dinner with your family, you know, those type of things.
Yeah. That's so. Do you ever, so with this song, do you ever put it on or listen to it when you're in a setting like that? Like if you have like a couple of friends over, or if you're at like a friend's place and you guys are having some food, do you ever put this on just to kind of like mirror the vibe?
I do when there's people that understand what the song is.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing we face daily is there's people who don't understand a lot of the music that causes you to think and feel.
Right.
So, 'cause like when people come into those situations, they don't want to feel. They want to kind of escape. And so that's why there's always often like food that makes you like that are super flavorful, or there's alcohol flowing, or you know, people partaking of green air, you know, whatever that's whatever have you to escape. That's what usually happens in those type of settings. But I put this song on when like sometimes if I have a car full of people, I'll put this song on and just like we'll be talking over it, but people just start feeling good and they don't know why they feel good. Or like if I'm in a room of musicians and like we just finished rehearsal or something, and like I'll just put this on just kind of as conversational music, and people are just like, yeah. Like they'll stop talking and start listening to it, and I'm just like, there it is,
It's
there it
awesome. Yeah,
is.
it reminds me a lot of, and I don't even know the name of the song, even though it's like such a well-known song, but the one from Harry Belafonte, I remember it from Beetlejuice, Daylight
Oh, some
Come.
Matt, yeah.
Yeah, like that's what it reminds me of, because it's very much, there's so much conversation, there's so much call and response with it from different voices, instruments
Yeah.
or actual voices, but it's very communal. It's very communal.
Exactly. And that's exactly why that song, like, it makes me happy because it makes me feel like a togetherness.
You're a part of something.
Yeah. And it draws you in. Like you
Yeah.
feel like you're there. Like you want to grab a tambourine and kind of join in
Yeah.
with the groove, you know? So it's like that's why I love that song.
Yeah. Where did you? So I remember earlier on you were talking about how you had gone to New York. I think you had went to the Lincoln Center for a music performance or something. How did this enter your orbit though? When did this come in the picture?
So in that week of being there, so we got to do like a jam session, where like each school picked like a trio or a combo, and we got to perform. And the trio that I went with is a couple cats from us that's actually in the city, or one, and one of them is in New York, Ivan Taylor and Willie Applewhite. And we played a burning jazz tune, and as we were playing, like members of the orchestra, the jazz orchestra, came up to jam with us, and they didn't do that with any other school.
Ooh.
So it's just like that drew me into them as a people, and then like wanting to get to know them better and seeing that all the personnel that was on the stage with me was on this record. And it's just like it also added another level of like engagement with that. So this record wasn't in the record store that I went to get the other record. This one was actually there, and I was just
Yeah.
like, I want this. Like I don't know how. Like it just jumped out to me because like if you look at the cover, it's Wynton Marsalis with a trumpet. It's actually music from a ballet that was written by Wynton Marsalis. So it's two ballets in one record. So you got the Jumpstart and Jazz ballet, and then you got the Melancholy record and ballet. So it's two different records all in one, but just seeing the album cover, I was like, this looks fun, and it has all of my favorite people on it. So I just listened to it, and like I put it in my CD player, my non-skip CD player, as I walked down the street, you know, back in the day. And I like from the first song, I was hooked because it starts with a snare drum roll. It goes ta 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 ta. Boom. And it's just like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And literally I would just listen to that record like nonstop
Man.
until it got scratched. But by the time it got scratched, we were into MP3 players and I was able to like put it in my iTunes and
There you go.
it was good.
Yeah, you put on your iPod Touch.
Right. My iPad. What's the small one? The
Was it iPod Mini?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But like I pretty much had all the versions except for the big beefy one that cost way too much money.
Right.
But yeah, no, that actually is still in my Apple Music iTunes from when I uploaded it. It just, you know, because like thank God they like just transfer everything over.
Seriously.
So it's just
Yeah.
like it's still there. And all of the music that I had from when in that season of my life is still in my iTunes to this day. And I just like I'll be going through like music and I'll find that music folder. And
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh man, I remember this. Oh man, I remember this. Oh man. And like I always find myself clicking on this record and just listening to it all the way through.
Yeah. No skips.
No skips.
Yeah.
No skips. Because it's a journey. Like each song and each song kind of like the first ballet, each song literally melds into each other.
Yeah.
And then the second ballet, it's all separate like songs, but they just kind of it's a good feel of
Yeah.
all of them together.
Yeah. So would this have been, because it was for two ballets, so would this band have been almost like a pit orchestra?
In a way, but I think like I didn't see the ballet, so I don't know the context of how it was performed, but I just love the soundtrack of it. So it kind
Yeah.
of got me into a lot of soundtrack stuff too, because in a way, this is a soundtrack also.
Exactly. Yeah. Are there any other like film scores or soundtracks that you really click with?
Deadpool. The soundtrack
I
is
believe it.
to the to like I listen to that. I find myself driving, like when I have long drives to gigs, I'll just throw that on and just like laugh and just be joyous and just like because like the one, especially the one where he's fighting like in Deadpool 2 when he's fighting the Juggernaut, there's actually like there's a song that is just like it you have to listen to it. I'll send it to you just so
Please,
you
please.
can laugh, but like I don't want to sing the words because they're like I don't know the demographic of the I don't know who's gonna listen to this. And
Got it, got it.
it's words that I shouldn't be saying out in public, because
The interwebs,
the
yeah. Yeah.
interwebs and people that you don't want to see things because the interwebs is undefeated
It is. It is. And I feel like it's going to stay that way.
forever and ever, and it's
Yeah.
part of our lives now.
Yeah. The box has been opened up. Yeah. But that's interesting. So I hate to say it. I have seen the first Deadpool a couple of times. I saw Deadpool and Wolverine in theaters, like right when it came out. I went by myself. I loved it. It was so good. I don't think I've seen Deadpool 2.
You have to.
I want to now because I'm now being reminded, damn, I haven't seen Deadpool 2.
And if you listen, watch them in succession, they lead right into one another. Because like they're referencing a lot
Ooh.
in Deadpool and Wolverine from that movie too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, specifically in that, they're referencing so many things and
Yeah.
so like Elektra and so many other characters.
Man, it was so good to see Wesley Snipes back as Blade.
Oh, the Daywalker, like the one and
Yes.
only.
And then like I feel like they wrapped up a lot of they put a bow on a lot of things, but also just left possibilities for the future.
Yeah,
So
which is like such is the way of the Marvel universe. They always do that.
they're getting better at it. They had a low season, but they're getting better
I
at
think so
it.
too. Like obviously like the what 2007, 2008 when the first Iron Man came out that kind of cascaded the whole big thing. We went through I feel like Black Panther 2 was kind of like the end of that great era which came out maybe 2 years ago.
I would probably say Endgame.
Yeah, that's a better kind of
Endgame was
bookend to it.
that was the big bookend, and then ending after that was kind of like hit or miss.
Yeah. And I think it was a
And
lot of miss.
yeah, it was a lot of big misses, but a few very like, oh, that's hit. Like,
Yeah.
Loki 2,
Yeah.
those are hits, like WandaVision, but those are TV shows also, but not like the movies that kind of suffered a little bit, like when the TV shows started happening. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
but
Yeah.
we've gone into a whole nother
Yeah. How many
podcast.
podcasts are inside of this podcast right now?
Oh man, there's so many. We've gone on like the culture podcast, we've gone on movie
We're talking, we've got a
podcast.
little bit of a black mental health.
Exactly. We've touched all the things that one is connected through music.
It
So
is. It is.
in a way, like music is the basis of a lot of things.
It is. It's like, I mean, it's like a language before verbal languages in a way. Like,
I mean, I liken it to drums were the first form of communication. They were the first phone.
Right.
You know, that's how people communicated. It was like this beat. You got people, you got things like what's the thing? Where it's like beeps and dashes,
Morse code.
Morse code. You know, that's rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like there's so many instances where music is the foundation of a lot of things.
Which music in Morse code, that reminds me of the prog rock band Rush.
Oh
There's
man.
their song YYZ. I mean, I recently just watched their documentary, I think a couple weeks ago on a flight. But their song YYZ, do you know the story behind that song?
I don't.
So interesting. So YYZ, well, I'll back up. So the rhythm in that song, it starts out counting in seven. And then I think during like the pre-chorus or a verse, it gets into a four, and then it goes back into seven. But while it's in seven, the rhythm or the groove that they create, if you put it down on a chart or paper, it's Morse code for YYZ. And Rush is a Canadian band.
Right.
YYZ is the airport code for Toronto.
That's crazy.
Like, that gives me chills every single time. And you go and listen to it, and it's like, dan or that, dan or that, dan or that. Yeah. Anyways, Rush is
But
great.
I love when people can put messages in music like that, and it transcends just like I think that's kind of why I'm like on my Kendrick kick right now, is because like I'm trying to understand the creativity behind the music and you know the message. Like there's this YouTube series I watch called Digging the Greats, and he does like in-depth dives into songs and he provides some history and stuff like that, but also does like some analytical stuff to it. And like in that, just kind of it opens my eyes to like things that I never thought of or even think didn't think to look for in a lot of people's music. So he's done like the Soulquarian stuff, but a lot of Kendrick stuff. So it's just like he's kind of in that bag of things, and it's just like which is a lot of the music that I listen to. So it's like, oh man, you're getting another side that engulfs you into the music.
Just seeing it a different way, which is fun. Like I there's a it might be from that same YouTube series, but I watched a video of a guy that broke down the score to the Matrix movie from way back when.
Oh
And
man,
that is insanely interesting because it talks about, like, I don't remember who it was, but it was a composer from Europe, I want to say, that wrote the score. And the connection that the composer got with the director, like, they built a relationship just so the composer could make sure that they're writing music that really fit like the story and the journey that Neo goes through throughout the movie, which is crazy interesting. I'll look it up and send it to you. It's
Please.
mind-blowing.
'Cause like that's things that we don't think about is like you don't think you think people score music to after the movie's already been like made, and it's like no, they're scoring music during this is happening, and like they're part of the storytelling. Like music is part of like what you feel when you're watching these movies, when you're watching these TV shows, and like it people don't even realize it.
Like like music is storytelling right
Exactly.
alongside it. That's what it is.
It's a tale of multiple stories being told at the same time.
Like all the favorite shows we ever watched, the favorite movies, if they happened without the music that they came with.
Man, I'm a WWE fan, and I watch wrestling. So their entrance music, like it tells you how to feel, and it tells you all about the character just from the music of them coming out too. So it's just like and it also touches onto soundtracks thing that I listen to because like I feel like that's also a soundtrack. So it's like the wrestler's entrances, which are killing, by the way. So if you ever get a chance to just like listen to some of the today's entrance music, you're gonna be like, oh man, this is really good. So but no, like music tells such a story, and it tells you like again, it gives you permission and tells you how to feel about the people that you're watching, the things that you're about to experience or that you have experienced already.
It's just, storytelling. Like, it's the foundation of so many things.
It's full circle, and finding those connections are exciting to me, and like I feel like a nerd most of the times when I find those connections, but I'm okay with that because I don't care what people
Cause it could,
think.
yeah, and I have the same thing. Like, I'll do like a deep dive on a song, and my wife Jordan's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Nothing." And I'm just like heads down on a YouTube video about like God knows what. But it becomes this like really like intimate emotional experience with that thing. And like you know, going back to feeling and expressing, like it just opens you up in different ways that it's unexpected.
And I had to kind of stop giving, I had to give people the benefit of the doubt when they ask me about these things, because I'm like, you wouldn't understand. And I'm like, let me just see what you would understand. So he's like, I'll start telling them, and it's like, some people be like, they give you the blank stare, the stare of death. It's like, huh. But then some people are just like, oh, that's really cool. Like, send me that link. And when you make those connections, it just gets you more excited, because now you're sharing things that make you
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're
happy.
just weird like me.
Yes. And let's be weird together. Let's find
Right.
more weird things and keep being weird. It's
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah. That's so true. That's so true. Well, let's start the wind down process. So when we think about closing out, anything else you want to mention with these three songs or the stories with the songs?
I hope you're gonna link these to down
Yes,
somewhere.
for sure,
Yes,
for
so
sure.
awesome. Yeah, if you guys take a listen, and then like DM me and let me know. Like, find me on Instagram at Zo the Drummer, and let me know how these songs make you feel, because I would love to like make that connection and just see if you feel what I feel, or if you I would like to see what you feel. So let's connect, let's share, because like I feel like that's where the conversation of I think that's what's going to save real music, is
Yeah.
conversations about how music makes you feel.
Yeah. Like going back to like, I don't know if it really happens much in our generation anymore, but like years ago, there'd be listening parties. A new record would come out, people would put on the vinyl, and they just sit in the living room and have have an old fashioned, and they'll just sit around and listen to music. Like
Yeah.
that's such a cool experience.
And it needs to happen more. And I feel
Yeah.
like in this society, because things are so rushed, and everybody's like having so many things to do, it's hard to kind of just sit and listen to something and focus on one thing.
Yeah.
I find myself doing it all the time, where I'm like, I'm watching TV, but I'm also scrolling on my phone and like
Yeah.
listening to something. I'm doing three things at once.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Don't know.
And then ultimately from there, you're not doing anything because
Exactly.
you're not doing any one of those things to its fullest.
Exactly. And you're not being productive. And
Nope.
that's one of my biggest frustrations with is not being
Yeah.
productive.
Distractions. There's just too many distractions out there.
And they're easily, or they're everywhere. Like, it's so easy to be distracted now. Like,
Yeah.
even as we were talking, my computer is showing me all of the text messages that are happening. I'm
Oh,
just
really?
like, I'm trying like not to glance up. I'm like, pay
Yeah.
attention, stay in the moment, stay in
I know.
the
Believe me, I'm the same thing. I'm the
moment.
same thing.
But like, that's what, like, it's that constant reminder of yourself to stay in the moment. And I feel like that's the biggest justice that we can do for ourselves, is just remind ourselves to stay in the moment and enjoy what's happening in front of us right then and there.
Yeah, and like intensely listening to music is one way to make that happen. For me, it is like when I listen to music, everything else kind of just falls away a little
Yeah.
bit.
And that's why I listen when I'm in the car. Like, because I have to focus on driving, so it's just like, okay, that's one thing that I really have to focus on. But let me play this music, because now I can't have my phone out
Yeah.
and scroll while I'm doing that. I can't watch, TV while that's happening. I have to listen. So it's just
Exactly.
like it narrows down like a lot of the focus factor that I need
Yeah,
to actually
yeah.
hear it.
Yeah, the boundaries.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, yeah, I'll link these songs in the show notes. I'll put your Instagram handle there as well as any other place that people can find you or that you want to be found at.
No, let's stick with Instagram.
Okay.
But also, you can connect with me on all the music platforms. So you can find my music everywhere, and subscribe to the page, because also I got dope playlists too. So you can listen to
Nice.
the playlist and all that good stuff too. So fun things.
Amazing. Amazing. Okay. Well, final thing. One new kind of twist that I'm adding to the show is that with every guest that comes on, at the very end, I'm going to ask that guest to think about somebody in their circle to nominate to be on the show so they can share their three songs and their stories as well. You're the first person I'm doing it with, so you're my inaugural nominating guest. So who comes to mind that you'd love to have on this show?
Man, I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to say all the band members that was in the band at your wedding.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, because they all have a story, and they all are super dope human beings.
Amazing. I did when I reached out to you initially. I also reached out to Alicia.
Yeah.
So she said she's like, I think she said she's totally down, but she needs a little bit of time. So I think in like a week or so, I'm gonna give her another nudge to see if she can hop on. But that's noted.
We have rehearsal for my show on the 9th, Monday, so I'll put a bug in her ear.
That's great. That's great. Okay. So everybody, man, I gotta like create a roster sheet for these people.
But that's like you said, it was a 15-piece band, but there's 15 people there with 15 individual stories,
True.
with 15 individual tastes of music.
Yeah.
So, but you may find some cross thread in all of it, which is why we all are friends.
I was gonna say, like, there's gotta be some crossover somewhere.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
like, and most of it is like the hip hop side of things or the neo soul part of things.
Yeah.
But like this, but that's what we all play together. So,
Yeah.
there's a little bit of love of that music there too. But like I said, there's that thread, but also the things that come off of
Right. Right. Yeah,
that.
I would be shocked. Not in a bad way, but very surprised if someone also had something by Wynton Marsalis or by John Scofield. Because there are probably other people on there that are like, oh yeah, I loved The Way You Move, the Outkast version, not the Earth, Wind & Fire version.
Right.
Or, you know, there's all that. But yeah, we shall
So
see.
that's what I'm saying. So like that's my challenge for you. As you challenge me, I challenge you back.
Accepted. Accepted. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. This was a very fun, interesting conversation. It was just great to spend some time with you, to chat with
Same.
you, get to know you some more. And I will absolutely be keeping an eye and ear out for an upcoming show. I know on the 9th, I already clocked it. I'm going on a work trip that day.
Gotcha.
So I will not be at Reggie's, unfortunately, but after that, I will find
Yes. And there's already a show in the works in April, so
Good. Good.
yeah, I'll be announcing that very soon.
Good. Can't wait. Can't wait. All right. Thank you, Alfonso. I'll catch you later.
Thanks, Benny.